This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12. We will be reading the first 10 verses, a reading from the book of Romans. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1763. Follow along as we hear a reading from the book of Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with.
Thank you.
Jake, a game warden, was always amazed that Sam, a fisherman, showed up at the end of the day with a couple or three stringers full of fish. This happened even when all the other fishermen came back with only two or three fish. Now, this particular lake was loaded with fish, but they seemed to elude the average fisherman. So there was no limit on number, only a limit on the size. And all of Sam's fish were big enough to bring home. The curiosity of the game warden finally got the best of him, so on one occasion he said to Sam, "I'd like to know your secret." Sam, a man of not too many words, said, "Show up tomorrow morning." The next morning, long before dawn, the game warden was there. Sam showed up and met him, started the motor, and 30 or 45 minutes later, they were out in some secluded part of the lake. It was important to Sam that no one else be around, and when they stopped the motor, everything was as still as it could be. Jake decided to sit back, fold his arms, and watch Sam do his thing, and Sam reached down in his tackle box, pulled out a slender stick of dynamite, lit it, tossed it into the air. When it hit the level of the lake, there was an enormous explosion. In a matter of seconds, fish of all sizes began to float up to the top of the lake. Without a word, Sam just began to row his way over and with his net pick up the largest fish and string them. Jake screamed, "Wait, you're breaking every rule in the book. I'm going to throw the book at you. You'll be paying fines. I'm going to stick you in jail." About that time, Sam reached into his tackle box and he pulled out another stick of dynamite. He lit it and tossed it in Jake's lap and said, "Are you going to sit there and watch all day, or are you going to fish?" Friends, we're all like the game warden. We see others doing certain things wrong, and we're quick to speak of their missteps. We even cite the reason why we are right and the reasons why they are wrong. And yet we fail to realize the fact that we too are in the same boat. We too are fishing the same way. We too are in the same boat of humanity. We too are connected with the mistake which unites all people who have ever lived and all people who ever will live. The mistake of sin which happened in the garden when Adam and Eve were disobedient. It truly does unite you and me and everyone. Yes, we all are connected by this one sinful act of disobedience, and it truly is the boat in which we all are passengers, the boat of sin. Now, before you recoil and start thinking, "Wait, I'm not doing such and such," or "I haven't done this or that," or "I'm not the one who goes to places such as others do," I get that, friends. However, I also understand that we live in a culture which speaks a message of self-help, and this message says things like, "I'm okay and you are okay." You see, friends, this is part of our mess. It's the lack of the realization of you and me not knowing we are in a mess. To put it succinctly, we are not only in a mess, but we all are a mess. We have bought the lie which exchanges the language of sin for the language of self-help books and pop psychology. This is dangerous. It's deception. And in fact, it leads to deluded thinking. This minimizes the grace of the cross and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For if you and I can do something that only Jesus could do, then why do we need Jesus? We must become countercultural in our thinking. We have to see ourselves in the same boat as the vilest of sinners, for we too are passengers. We must change the way we view sins. Our view must move from seeing sins as individual wrong acts such as lying and stealing. And our view of sin must change from one of individual acts of disobedience to seeing sin as an inner force and an inherent condition and even a controlling power. Let me say that again. Our view of sin must change from being a view that sin is individual acts of disobedience, such as lying and stealing and cheating. And we must begin to see sin as an inner force, an inherent condition, and a controlling power. And friends, if this is news to you, then you and I, we must come face to face with the reality that we all are part of the Adamic race. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. or before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Friends, death and sin came into the world through Adam, and let us not miss that death and sin came even to those who did not sin by breaking a single command. Sin came to those who did not disobey through individual acts, such as lying and stealing and cheating. But sin came to all people through Adam as an inherent condition and as a controlling power. We miss this many times, and we have even gone to the extent that we justify and rationalize our goodness by taking the speck out of our brothers and sisters' eyes while we still have a plank in our own. And friends, the ground is leveled as we all have this Adamic nature in us, since we all are descendants of Adam. We all fall short of the glory of God, and the book of Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not one that has come close to being acceptable to God on their own ability. Now, today is Communion Sunday, and it's imperative that when we talk about sin, we share the rest of the story. And friends, the rest of the story is a story of grace. It's a story of forgiveness. It's a story of redemption, and it's a story of love. You see, it is true, we are all in the boat of sin, and yet while we were still sinners, Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. He shed his blood on Calvary so you and I could experience life. We could receive the forgiveness. We could be lavished with his grace, and we could receive his mercy and the freedom that only Christ can give. What love Jesus has for you and for me, to know that we all have been freely given all we will ever need for this life in and through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Hear this, the helplessness, the hopelessness, the despair of the sin condition all of us experienced and all of us we do experience has been answered and it has been defeated when Jesus proclaimed, "It is finished," upon the cross. This is why, friends, when we speak of sin, it must include the story of grace. Mark McMinn, in his book, Why Sin Matters, states it this way. He says, why does sin matter? Because the language of sin is the way we shed the armor of prideful self-defense. Either we can spend our time denying our natural error, or we can set aside the armor and cry out for grace. When we spend all our efforts trying to convince ourselves and others that we are better than we really are, we only end up spinning a web of self-deception. And so in acknowledging our sin condition and our need for the grace of Jesus, we come to embrace our true self. Hear that. In acknowledging our sin condition and our need for the grace of Christ, we come to embrace our true self. We have two choices. To continue buying into the lies of this world that say you are okay, all the while implying you don't need Jesus' grace, you don't need the forgiveness of Christ, or we can acknowledge that we have this condition called sin, and even at our very best, we all are in desperate need of the grace of Jesus Christ. I say all this to share the seriousness of the Lord's table. As I mentioned a few moments ago, today is Communion Sunday, and we will shortly meet around the Lord's table and partake of the elements of the bread and the cup. Communion should be a time of reflection and meditation and self-awareness, which leads all of us to a genuine love for God and for fellow man. I wonder if you saw the progression there. Meditation, reflection, and self-awareness for the believer will always lead to a genuine love for God and a love for other people. Listen to the words the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about abuses of the Lord's table. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and many are sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, and so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. Now, it's important to understand the church at Corinth had many problems. There were divisions and there were factions within the body of believers, and all these issues spilled over to their time around the Lord's table. The perversions of the hearts of those in the congregation at Corinth were still there when they participated in the Lord's Supper. And the same will always be true of you and me. Friends, we must begin to deal with our real self. We must get real with ourselves and about our own tendencies. And what an awesome place to do that than right before we meet around the Lord's table. In fact, the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper should be a purification of sorts of the bride of Christ. And you see, friends, when we meet to take part in Holy Communion, we all would do well if we examined our hearts, examined our minds, and looked into our lives to see if there's anything we need to confess to the Lord. If all members of the church conduct themselves in such a manner, this will produce a purity of heart and a oneness of spirit within the congregation. That is the message of communion. That's the message of communion. Oneness, unity, connected in Christ. And that is the message of having a real relationship with yourself. To acknowledge yourself before a holy God in such a manner where you can call your sin, sin, and you agree with Jesus in an act of confession over your best and worst actions, behaviors, and thoughts. I want to challenge us all here this morning to be self-aware of your condition before Jesus today. To examine yourself in the light of the illuminating presence of the Holy Spirit. To allow God the Father to reveal areas of your life you have closed to all others prior to today. If you are unwilling to do this today, then I challenge you to let this time of communion pass this morning, rather than for you to be guilty of taking part in an unworthy manner and be subject to the judgment of the Lord. Let it pass. Please know you are messing with a dangerous thing if you proceed in an unworthy manner. This is not something to be trifled with. In fact, if you are unwilling to confess a sin to Jesus, if you are harboring a bitter root in your soul, if you are accepting a wrong attitude toward another person, if you are embracing your selfish wants and desires over God's will, if you are failing to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then let this time of communion pass. For all who are willing to go to the place, and before I continue on, there has been times in my life where I've let the elements pass because I knew in my heart was not right. And that's what's going on here, friends. But for all who are willing to go to the place where we will be uncomfortable, to be possibly have our sins revealed to us by the Spirit of God, and I'm not saying confessing one to another, I'm saying this is between you and God, between you and Jesus. And as he illuminates what he reveals, you deal with it with him, not with another person. But you make sure your heart is right. You make sure your heart is pure. You make sure that you are true to your real self. And you reject the delusion that this world so constantly heaps up on all of us in the manner that says, I'm okay, you're okay. Friends, no, we have that sin nature. And Jesus did come to defeat sin, and he has made us a new creation. And yet, until we go home to be with him, we will constantly be struggling against flesh and blood and be constantly struggling against the powers and principalities and the princes of the air, the enemy. But if you are willing to go to the place where you will be uncomfortable and possibly have certain things revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, I challenge you all to not stop at this point, but to remember the sacrifice of Christ for you. Because the sacrifice of Christ came so that you don't have to be in the boat of sin anymore. You can be united with Christ. You are united with Christ if you are a believer in him. But ponder and realize that Jesus gave his entire life, his entire incarnate life for you who believe in him. That Jesus became a man for you. That Jesus gave the gospel to you. That Jesus suffered for you, specifically for you. That Jesus died for you. That Jesus paid the ransom for you. That if you ask, Jesus forgives you. And ultimately, this was motivated by the love that Jesus has for you. I challenge you to remember the agony Jesus endured for your sake, to remember the flogging Jesus received on your behalf, to remember the mocking and insults Jesus accepted since you shouldn't have to. Remember the nails being driven into the hands and feet of Christ, to remember the spear piercing Jesus' side, to remember the love Jesus has for you when he said, "It is finished," to remember the cost of your sins and mine that Jesus paid for you and for me. To remember the blessing of the opportunity of walking with Jesus each day. To remember the privilege of worshiping the Lord this day. To remember the given promised Holy Spirit who dwells in you and in me. To remember the promise of Jesus' return. To remember the hope of Jesus' promise for you and for your life. Friends, examine your heart. Examine your mind, examine your soul, and remember all Jesus has done for you and for me. Let us all meet around the Lord's table this morning. We have an open communion table here. We don't require that you're a member of Trinity to partake. All we require is that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to do something a little different this morning. Normally we have the ushers bring forward those in the pews. And I don't want the ushers to bring forward anyone. I want us to take this time to meditate, to reflect, to give thanks to your God, and to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate to your soul those things that you may need to confess. So that then, when you are ready, simply come forward and receive the bread and the cup. We will partake by intinction, meaning you will receive a piece of bread and you will dip that bread into the juice and you will take part both together. And so as God leads you, please come forward and let us meet around the table of Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we humbly bow before you this day, to recognize your goodness, to thank you for your forgiveness, and to just rest in your mercy and your love. Father, what a wonderful thing. What a blessing you have blessed all of us with, the forgiveness of our sins and removed us from that boat so that we can walk with you. We are reunited in grace, O Christ. We bless you for the elements, the bread and the cup, and the body of Jesus our Lord that was broken, and the blood that was shed on our behalf, and we thank you. We praise you for that. We pray that we would continue to commune with you each day, and we would continue to walk in your Spirit. And may you, above all, be glorified. We bless you now in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close here this morning, know if you have confessed something to God today, he says to you, you are forgiven. And he remembers it no more. So go in peace. Go in the freedom. Go in the clarity of mind, the pureness of heart go and walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may He truly adorn you all with His holy presence each and every waking moment. Go in peace. Amen.